Chapter 51. Intro. Klaus. With a pissed-off grimace, Finn started running. The moment he moved, he felt that strange acceleration again, but after the fight, he was more used to it. Rather than stumble, it let him move a yard almost immediately. He didn't slow down. Instead, he poured on the speed while his fists tightened. Turning the corner, he looked over his shoulder at his pursuers again. My God! Do they manufacture these people from an Aryan blueprint? They really did look like a bunch of extras from Village of the Damned. They had started chasing him. Let them come. Once he was done with them, they'd fall over like they were drunk. What the deuce? In the space of a second, the men and women chasing had all wiped out. Some fell, others flat out face-planted. One almost did a backflip, his patent leather shoes flying up above his head before slamming into the ground. Finn was so shocked at the ridiculousness of what he was seeing, a bunch of Aryans wearing black suits straight out of a Yakuza movie, falling over each other like a Benny Hill routine, that he watched them fall, refall, and curse for a couple seconds. As he did, Finn was finally able to understand what was happening. The floor beneath them was strangely shiny. On a hunch, he switched his gaze to manasite, and, lo and behold, there was something on the ground that glowed with blue light. Switching his sight off, he stared again. Was that a thin sheet of ice? Whatever it was, it had made the ground almost frictionless. As he watched, he saw Sola stand off to the side, a barely concealed grin on her face. The man that had screamed at her was still standing next to her. That guy was not smiling. Finn was about to take off again, leaving his pursuers to their slapstick predicament when it happened. The hilarity and the falls came to an end when one man glowed white for a moment before his body swelled to twice its previous size. The discount Hulk raised one basketball-sized fist before slamming it into the ground. The ice and the ground beneath shattered. An impact crater formed, a full 2 feet in diameter. Finn didn't need to see anything else. He took off running again, hearing something that sounded like,
I am Klaus,
echo behind him. The cracks in the ice spread down the hall, turning the thin sheet of ice into countless shards, fixing the slipping problem. One of the men looked towards Sola in anger, but she just raised her hands in innocence and asked in mock concern,
Are you all right?
Girgin bared his teeth. He was sure Sola was the cause of the ice, but had no way to prove it. The wave had blessed him with his own ability, which was why he'd been given charge of this operation. But that didn't help him prove she'd broken the terms of the Wehrguild. Focusing on what he could control, he grabbed one of his men.
You, and you. Run down through the halls and tell everyone that the target has been sighted on the 8th floor.
He pointed to another pair.
You two, stay with me. Everyone else, pursue. On my authority, the rules of engagement have changed. Weapons free, powers free, injury allowed. Must be taken alive.
The men and women of his strike team smiled vindictively. Three ran down the stairs behind them to gather the rest of their people. Almost everyone else ran off in pursuit of Finn, leaving only a pair to stay behind. Jürgen turned to Sola. Any frustration or consideration in his voice had withered, leaving behind only barely controlled rage and deadly intent.
Get in my way again, and I swear by the Lotus I will kill you.
Staring up at his pale blonde face, Sola wasn't impressed.
Maybe you should focus on completing your mission and not blaming an innocent woman. If all your kill squads can't catch one injured civilian or even keep from falling over,
Sola smiled broadly.
Well, I wouldn't want to be you later. How does your patriarch deal with failure?
Jürgen couldn't help it. He swallowed hard at the thought, his mouth suddenly dry. With pure spite, Jürgen tapped a code into his link. The holocam reappeared. The tone in his voice turned completely respectful.
Sir, We are on site, but the local shadow, Sola Yiying, is not being helpful. In fact, I believe she is actively helping our quarry escape. She may have even used an ability to obstruct us. Could you speak with her superior? There is a high probability that she has gone rogue. I am sending a video file of her crimes now.
Jürgen flicked his finger towards one of his subordinates, whose own link pinged.
Go down to the ground floor and send that video to one of our teams outside. Make sure it gets forwarded to the Patriarch immediately.
This time, it was Sola's face that dropped, much to Jürgen's delight. War protocol might block access to the Great Link, but line-of-sight data transfers were still possible. The hologram above his link winked out, and he turned back to Sola with an expression that could only be called smarmy.
Why don't we just wait here?
He suggested, without it being an actual suggestion. He stepped between her and the hallway Finn had fled down.
We can keep one another company until our superiors let us know what they would like to do.
I go where I like, Sola retorted, especially in my own territory.
A blue glow surrounded her left hand again, and this time she didn't try to hide it.
I'm afraid, he replied, undaunted. I have to insist.
An orange glow kindled in the center of his pupils, like a glimpse of hellfire at the end of a poorly spent life. Finn ran as quickly as he could towards the elevators. Not for the first time, he thanked whomever might be listening that his constitution had passed the second threshold. If he still had the injuries from the crash and explosion, he'd have only managed half this speed. As it was, he was pretty sure he was 20% faster than he'd been in what he'd thought was peak health only a week ago. Even with the injuries he'd suffered just now with the Charlemagnes, he was almost flying down the halls. This was the first time he'd really opened up with his new body. Crossing the Constitution threshold had changed him on a fundamental level. As he sprinted down the hall, he realized there hadn't been anything in the threshold prompt that said he'd run faster or increase his physical capabilities, which meant that the amazing increased output was due to the hidden injuries that had been healed. Damage that didn't even qualify as common ranked injuries.
Winning with health,
he thought with a grin as he ran from the cast of Schindler's List. He still wanted to bash all their faces in, but after seeing that guy shatter the floor with a single punch, he knew he couldn't take them all down. That guy had transformed and had busted through his clothes like the Hulk. Finn clearly wasn't the only one changed by the wave, and unless he missed his guess, Sola had been given an ability as well. Both her ice and discount Kevin Sorbo seemed a lot more suited to direct combat than his own whisper ability, epic ranked or not. And if both of them had powers, then how did he know everyone chasing him didn't? For now, there was no question about what needed to happen. It was time to get out of Dodge. He came to a stairwell and threw the door open. There, he was confronted with a binary option. Up or down?
Had to be on the 8th floor, he cursed.
With gritted teeth, he started running up. There was no way he'd make it all the way to the ground floor ahead of his pursuit. Maybe he could lose them on a higher floor and double back down another stairwell. He climbed up a flight, pulling hard on the handrail to accelerate himself up. Interestingly, his improved reaction seemed to kick in with every step. Finn could basically hear the wind whistle by him as he climbed, which also winded him faster than before, but his improved health seemed to help with that as well. At a faster pace than he could have sprinted up the stairs a week ago, but with only half the exhaustion, he reached the 10th floor landing and ran out onto the floor. He quickly pulled the door closed behind him, slowing it at the last moment to muffle the sound. The door closed just before he heard the stairwell door on the 8th slam open. A split second after, the door to the 9th banged open as well, showing he'd been lucky not to exit there. Shouted voices filled the stairwell. Finn ran. Behind him, half of the strike team found themselves on the stairs, trying to figure out which floor he'd gotten off on. Cursing, they split up, excluding the floors they'd just left. Three of the suited men and women chose the 10th floor. One ran to the right,
and the other two chose the left. Finn ran as fast as he could, leaving a series of patients staring at him from their rooms. One thing he found was that his extra acceleration didn't kick in during a sustained flight. It was only when he first performed an action that it manifested. That was actually good news. He doubted he'd be able to run if he was constantly fighting against a lifetime of instincts. He moved past the elevators, hitting the down button. A second later, he banged his fist into the button again.
"Worth a try," he muttered.
Even knowing about the war protocol, he'd hoped they hadn't shut down all the shafts. Once again, he had to ask, who were these guys? They were in the middle of Atlanta in the middle of the day. They had to realize there was a chance they wouldn't get away with performing a manhunt in a busy hospital. He'd started running once more. Maybe a service elevator would still be working. If not, he'd try the stairs again. Hell, he'd jump down a laundry chute. If he slowed his descent, maybe he'd hobble away with just a broken leg. It was better than the testicular torture his quest had mentioned. Meanwhile, a faint smile graced his face, without him even realizing it, enjoying the challenge, and once again walking on the edge.
"I can do this," he thought to himself. "All I need is a little luck."
"There he is!"
"Fuck you, luck."
Finn looked behind him and saw a man and woman in black suits. The woman was pointing at him. He threw up his own finger in response, but he went with the middle one. Both took off in pursuit, the man shouting urgently into his link. Though comms were down, local functions still worked. In this case, as a megaphone.
"He's on the 10th floor! The 10th floor!"
The broadcast sound was so loud it echoed more than enough to reach any Lotus on the stairs. Everyone who'd heard the man's message used their own megaphones as well, bringing all the Lotus and any still conscious Charlemagnes up the stairs. Once they got to the 10th floor, they spread out, cutting off all avenues of escape. Jürgen and Sola ended their stalemate as well, rushing towards the stairs. The man and woman chasing Finn grinned at each other as they ran. They worked together often and shared a love of violence. More than once, they spent wonderful afternoons making small cut after small cut on their victims, treasuring the scarlet and pain. They were main branch members of the Lotus and had benefited from strengthening rituals before even their birth. Neither had ever been sick, and both had grown up stronger, healthier, and smarter than the average person because of their advantages. These innate benefits had been compounded by Spartan-esque training from an early age. Added together, it meant, at least in their minds, that they were superior in every way to the sheep that thought themselves people. The fact that the wave had enabled them had only cemented their feelings of manifest destiny. The patriarch sending so many squads to grab one civilian was ludicrous to them both. But they certainly weren't stupid enough to voice that out loud. Besides, Jürgen had given them permission to test their new powers out, something they were both dying to do. The two of them, and the Lotus Familia as a whole, believed in strength and one law above all others. The weak were meat, and the strong do eat. The two raced down the hall and the man jested,
50 credits to whoever bags him.
Ha! You already owe me 20.
You know I'm good for it.
I know I'll take it out of your ass if you don't pay.
Promises, promises.
The sound of their laughter echoed through the hallway as they turned the corner. That made it all the more satisfying for Finn when that laughter turned to curses and moans. Once he'd been spotted again, Finn had no illusions about being able to outrun his two pursuers. They had called in his location and others must be on their way even now. If he ran, they'd drive him into the waiting arms of their buddies, Fish in a Net. That made his next course of action easy. If he couldn't run, he'd have to fight. His only hope was to take these two out fast. Then he could hide and hopefully slip the net while they searched. Right after turning the corner, he grabbed an IV stand and waited on his knees. Hearing them joke about taking his freedom made anger surge in his heart, but he steadied his breathing. His timing had to be perfect. Ignoring the stares from the nearby nurses and patients peeking their heads out of their rooms, Finn listened to the two bastards get closer, their steps growing louder. At the exact right moment, before they'd even rounded the corner, he shoved the pole out and succeeded in completely ensnaring the man's legs. As he went down, he collapsed into the woman's, tripping her as well. Of the two of them, the woman went down harder. She impacted so heavily, Finn would be surprised if she hadn't fractured her jaw. Blood spurted from her mouth. The other man fell hard as well, but managed to twist and land on his side. Before he even hit the ground, Finn was on him. As soon as he'd thrust the pole out, Finn had braced his leg against the wall. Like a loaded spring, he propelled himself toward the man that had been chasing him. With his hand in knife blade position, he jabbed his fingers into the man's pale throat. Unlike the woman, the man had time to see him coming, but it didn't matter. Finn used his increased reaction intentionally. To anyone looking, it looked like his whole body blurred. Before his target could even raise his arms in defense, Finn was on him. The darker man's fingers hit his target's Adam's apple. There was a moment of resistance, then his knife hand depressed the cartilage until there was a small crunch. It wasn't enough to completely block the windpipe, but the man was left gasping and flailing on the ground. Like most fights, it ended in seconds. A patient screamed from inside their room. Someone else yelled, "Security! Security! Someone get help!" No one actually rushed to get involved themselves. Who would? Right after incapacitating his first target, Finn twisted his body. At the same time, he reached for the metal bedpan he'd set aside while preparing his ambush. Damn, I wish I'd kept that hammer. A bedpan was a crappy weapon, but it was hard and metal, and when your options came from a hospital cart, you did the best you could. What was important was that his ambush had worked. Once he bashed this bitch's face in, he'd... Oh, shit! As Finn turned his head, he was shocked by what he saw. Not the anticipated sight of a woman moaning and partially concussed on the ground, but instead a foot of gunmetal gray blade slicing through the air. It was coming fast enough that he had no chance to dodge. At least, that would have been the case a week ago. Today, for the iota of time that seemed slowed, he was able to watch the shining length of steel flow towards his neck with what seemed to be glacial inevitability. The woman grinned fiercely, knowing Finn would be too slow to react. Except that he wasn't. With a smile forming on his own face, Finn's body moved faster than he could even think. Once again, his arm blurred slightly. He'd thought he'd understood what his new reaction threshold could do. It made him accelerate faster, right? That was only part of it. Finn's hand started moving faster than should have been possible. Everyone knew their own body well, but anyone that had been combat trained knew their body intimately. Most normal people could be surprised by sudden bouts of strength or speed in times of stress. They thought they were exceeding their limits when really they were just tapping into their true potential for the first time. Finn wasn't like most people. The training he'd undergone during the war had unlocked his potential years before. His superiors and instructors had then pushed him to his limits more times than he could count. It was only through countless hours of sweat and pain that he truly surpassed his previous boundaries. Every inch he'd progressed was earned through sweat and blood. Every inch he moved forward was twice as difficult as the one before. He wasn't an Olympian, but compared to a normal person, he was exceptional. It all meant he had much better control over his body than the average Joe. He could move faster and more surely than most. His control let him do things that others would be astounded by. It also meant that he wouldn't have sudden, surprising bursts of strength that exceeded his expectations. He knew exactly what his limits were. Except, in this moment, his body was proving that he knew exactly dick. As the dagger edge loomed larger in his sight, his body reacted faster than he'd ever moved before, even during the last fight against the Charlemagnes. Until now, his unconscious mind had still rebelled at this new reality he found himself in, limiting his performance. In this current moment of life and death, the element infusing his body combined with the lifetime of muscle memory, and for the first time, he fully accessed his capabilities. Each muscle in his body worked in conjunction to increase his speed. If in the past it had taken months of work to expand his potential by an inch, In that split second, he moved a foot. His body jerked back and his head up. The woman's dagger passed under his chin, nearly close enough to shave. Time sped back up. Finn fell back across the body of the choking man, off balance, but still alive. The woman stared at him incredulously, not sure what had just happened. She was sure she was about to get a kill. She didn't care about her orders. Nobody hurt Hans. But then her target's body had blurred for just a split second, and somehow he'd avoided her attack. That moment of shock cost her. She wasn't able to dodge when Finn's heel kicked her squarely in the mouth. Blood flew and her front teeth, already loosened by her fall, shot back into her throat, leaving a gaping bloody hole. She fell back with an angered cry. Her partially fractured jaw well and truly cracked with a click that filled her head with battery acid. Even in her pain, she remained a true warrior and swung her dagger at him again. She was not a machine, however. This attack was just a swipe of an injured animal, not the strike of a trained killer. Finn easily pulled his leg out of the way and rolled back. The blonde woman braced against one wall of the hallway, struggling to stand as quickly as possible. The stabbing pain in her head was making the edges of her vision blur. Finn elbowed the gasping man in the sternum, making sure he stayed down a bit longer. The pained choking grew even more strained, and the man writhed on the ground, clutching at his throat. Finn's hand brushed something hard, and his eyes darted to the man's waist.
Who the hell walked around in a bespoke suit with a dagger at their waist? Who the fuck were these people?
Finn grabbed it from the man's belt sheath as he scrambled to his feet. The blade was identical to the one the woman was holding, a foot of double-edged steel with a simple bar crossguard. In a second, he assessed it. This was an actual weapon, not a tool. Its purpose was to take human life. You wouldn't find it on a soldier, only a killer. He stopped himself from mentally asking once more who was hunting him. Finn and the blonde woman got to their feet at nearly the same time. She stood on the other side of the hallway. It had been less than a minute since they'd met, but they'd already nourished a lifetime of hatred. They locked eyes, his own bright and cold in his dark face, stars in the night. She stared back with fury, lip torn and mouth bloody, a large bruise forming on the anemic skin of her cheek. The left side of her mouth was slightly open, forced that way by her broken jaw. Her confederate continued to choke at their feet, too preoccupied with trying to breathe to do anything else. With Finn's own gaze reflected in her eyes, murder dwelt there twice. Finn knew he didn't have much time before the rest of the Icelandic soccer team got there. As it was, he was lucky he'd only come across two of them. If there had been a third, his little ambush would never have worked, and this would already be over. Killing these two hadn't been the original plan, but now that blades were out, he wasn't going to hold back. Finn didn't know what her orders had been before they tussled, but there was no mistaking the look she was giving him now. Only one of them was going to survive this. It was also clear now how powerful his improved reaction could be. That was the only explanation for how he'd dodged her initial attack. He could use that to end her. The only problem was he now knew something was keeping him from really using his new power when he went on the offensive. The best-case scenario would be for her to attack. Then he could use his improved reflexes to catch her off guard. The problem was, time was on her side. How could he get her to attack him? Finn's face shifted, no longer cold. The woman blinked. Was that excitement in his eyes? It was. Finn used violent delights for the first time. Time froze. He couldn't move, but he was able to see his mark manifest on his forearm. The bronze tattoo came into existence, jagged metal crowned with three drops of dark red blood. One of those drops left his arm and splashed onto the forehead of the woman he was facing. Her eyes turned a monochromatic red, the pupil and irises replaced by a solid orb of crimson. The effect faded away, leaving her outwardly unchanged. The prompt Finn received proved that was not the case.
You have made a hated enemy. +20% damage. You are now hated.
Warning, a hated enemy will grow stronger through their enmity. +10% damage against you per day. Finn would have blinked if he could. He didn't know about that second part. Time resumed. From the woman's perspective, nothing had happened.
She was just flooded with an intense hate for the man in front of her. The feeling dwarfed the murderous anger she'd felt before. Never in her entire life had she hated someone like she hated this mongrel.
A feeling of loathing, thick enough to choke her, overtook the woman. The sudden onrush of emotion, mixed with the despair she was already experiencing, short-circuited her mind. A pseudo-mortal simply wasn't equipped to immediately process a magical alteration of their emotions. Finn didn't know it, but against most on Earth, the hatred inspired by violent delights was effectively an attack against the soul itself. All Finn knew was that he'd never seen someone so easy to read. The internal dissonance and quasi-stun debuff the woman suffered hadn't been Finn's intention, and he didn't even notice. Instead, he deliberately stared at her ruined mouth with a cocky grin.
Look, just because a menstruating hippo set on your face doesn't mean...
Sadly, the world would never know how that zinger ended, because she lunged at him with a mad scream. With her mouth all the way open, it became obvious why she sounded so crazy. Half of her tongue had been bitten off. The grin stayed on Finn's face, but his eyes remained deadly serious. When most people said they didn't see a person's sex or race, they were usually full of shit. He was an exception. He truly didn't see her as a woman. All he saw was an asshole he was about to kill. Finn swung his own blade to match her attack. The weapons met, and he was surprised to find that her strength was the same as his, if not even a bit stronger. He had to outweigh her by a good 30 to 40 pounds and had 3 inches on her, but it was all he could do to hold her back when they locked blades. She screamed at him over their braced daggers, blood spraying his face, before she pulled back and swiped at him again. The two traded blows, the daggers making a steady staccato of ting, ting, ting. As they continued to battle, Finn's smile began to slip. He was no stranger to knife fighting. He'd hoped for a quick stab to incapacitate the woman, but he quickly found that not only was she as strong as him, she was more skilled with the blade, and possibly a bit faster. It was true that Finn wasn't at his peak. His newly healed body had increased his physical capabilities, and his reaction was incredible, but it was like getting into a sports car for the first time. He wasn't used to the power at his disposal. When fighting the Charlemagnes, this hadn't been a problem. Not only was his body literally superior, but he was a better fighter than any of them. They may have served during the war, most did, but few had gotten the training that Finn had received. At the end of the day, they were thugs. This woman was different. She was like him. She was a killer. That was why the disconnect between his mind and body was getting in the way this time. The disjunct was small, but in a high-intensity fight like this, even a 1% reduction in prowess could be deadly. As it was, the disruption between his new body and ingrained fighting instincts allowed his opponent to force a perilous stalemate as they traded blows. To his surprise, what he was hoping would be a quick takedown was turning into a drawn-out battle. Finn wasn't the only one taken aback. Even in her maddened and pain-addled state, his opponent couldn't help but be shocked.
How is he doing this?
Even when she increased the tempo of her attacks, he was able to keep up with her.
Who was he?
In the House of the Ghost Lotus, she ranked 35th out of hundreds in short blade fighting. But this injured man, who was supposed to be a nobody with no backing, was blocking her every attempt to claim his life. The shame of it nearly drove her mad and brought even more fury to her blows. Despite her increased ferocity, no matter how quickly she attacked, to Finn, for a split second, it felt like time stood still. In that fraction of a moment, he was able to decide on the right response. It wasn't that he was moving quicker the whole time, but it felt like his body was reacting as soon as he thought about something. Reacting faster let him accelerate a bare centimeter before she did. In this fight, where their blades were clashing at least once a second, his faster reaction time made all the difference. It didn't make him a god, though. After only a minute, he was already bleeding from a few small cuts that he'd just barely been able to deflect. The sight of blood drove her even harder. Finn met her bloodlust with his own, but was not at all happy about the message he was getting.
You have suffered a minuscule laceration, -0 HP. You have suffered a minuscule laceration, -0 HP. Damage has accumulated, -1 HP. You have suffered a minor laceration, -1 HP.
His improved body and unlocked health were helping him, but unlocked HP didn't make him a god. The cuts he was suffering would chisel down his health if this continued on, and he was already below 50%. Even worse, he discovered something about her. Finn had landed a few small cuts himself as they fought. That was to be expected. The first rule of a knife fight was that everyone in the fight got cut. It turns out, though, that she was cheating. With no small amount of irritation, Finn discovered her shirt and suit weren't just tailored to look good. They were made out of nanovar, another invention that came out of the Third War. It was an extremely lightweight synthetic material comprised of tightly interlocking nanotubules. Nanovar had high resistance to puncturing, pressure, heat, and was poorly conductive, so it even provided some protection from shocks. It was some of the best body armor available. A shirt woven from nanovar could stop a bullet just as well as third-gen Kevlar, but was as light as cotton. Despite all of that, it was rarely seen. That was because the expenditure to make nanovar armor was insane. The suit the woman was wearing probably cost over 100,000 credits. He could buy a small house for what she was wearing. Almost no one had the resources to go around wicked. Who were these people? No matter what the background of these blonde bastards, Finn had bigger problems. This woman was better than him in a knife fight. She was also wearing body armor that he'd only be able to pierce with a full-strength thrust at exactly the right angle. Even then, he might not penetrate too deeply. This was all a good recipe for a shit Sunday, and they both knew it. As they continued to trade blows, the ruined gash of her mouth opened in a bloody leer. She had reinforcements coming, and she knew she just needed to keep him occupied until they arrived. With the advantages she had, this battle was a foregone conclusion. Even the man wheezing on the ground looked to be recovering over the past few seconds. Finn knew he had to finish this fast, but he'd run out of moves. In that moment, it occurred to him, why not flip the board? Which was why Finn did something that you just didn't do. He swung his free hand at her blade. The look on her face showed a malevolent anticipation, and she eagerly accelerated her weapon. Unlike in the movies, you couldn't just grab a knife with your free hand. Even a basic kitchen knife could cut through flesh if it was moving fast enough. The daggers they were fighting with were anything but basic, and the edges of the foot-long blades were probably sharp enough to slice falling silk. Trying to grab someone else's dagger was almost always a deadly mistake. It would savage the muscles, slice through tendons, and leave your hand a mangled mess faster than you could immobilize the moving blade. The resultant blood loss would make the end of the fight a foregone conclusion. That is, unless you could match the angle of your hand perfectly to the angle of the attacking blade. Then, you could knock your enemy's weapon to the side and create a small opening to counterattack. Even a few degrees off and you'd be maimed. With such a small degree of success, only an idiot would risk this.
Or a courageous man with a heightened reaction time. Or an idiot with heightened reaction time.
The woman's dagger flew at Finn. With only a fraction of a second to respond, his wrist twisted to the precise degree required for his knife hand to parallel her blade. His hand blurred. To her shock and his elation, her weapon was batted away. You have suffered a small laceration, -1 HP. It had cut a 2-inch slice of skin free from the back of his hand. Her weapon continued past his wrist, cutting a bit deeper into the back of his forearm. That would bleed badly, but in the meantime, her dagger was knocked out of line. Battle joy filling him, his own blade flew forward. This was it. Finn's heart thudded, anticipating the feeling of his weapon sinking into her body. His dagger plunged directly at her heart. Even if her nanovar armor kept his strike from penetrating too deep, the heart was only a half inch beneath the skin. Well armored or not, it wouldn't save her. Just before he claimed victory, something unexpected happened. An inch from her chest, his dagger was stopped dead by a saucer-sized circle of white energy that suddenly manifested into existence. His eyes widened in shock. She grinned at him in triumph, her ruined mouth bloody and misshapen. Not even the large gap of her missing front teeth could rob her joy. She was invincible with her new power. When the wave had hit, she'd been enabled along with almost every member of the Familia. Unlike many of them, she'd gained an ability. She was powered. Otoro's luminous shield. Summon up to a +10 shield of light mana. The ability was fueled by her mana, taking MP every second it was active. Experimentation had shown her she could make the shield larger or smaller at an additional mana cost. Blocking Finn's attack had cost her less than a tenth of her mana pool. She could block 10 to 15 more attacks before she ran dry. She still didn't know how he was moving so fast, but her shield appeared at the speed of thought. She was a better fighter. With her shield protecting her, she could move even faster, foregoing defense for offense. She was better equipped, and she had reinforcements on the way. The advantage was hers. That meant he was hers. Her eyes narrowed with deadly intent. She glared into Finn's eyes as her arm tensed, ready to finally plunge her blade into his chest.